Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
What is up, everyone? Holy cow, has it been a while since Patrick O'Dowd and David Ungar took to the internet airwaves to talk some sports, but we are back. Welcome everyone in to another edition of the Four Corners Podcast. The Four Corners Podcast. That's how long it's been, Dave. It's been a month since I've been on the internet airwaves. I have forgotten the name of our own show. Welcome into the Four Corners Podcast here on the Chairshot Radio Network, a part of the Chairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. Head over to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot for all of your sweet, sweet Chairshot swag needs. And Dave, I missed you. I missed you. I missed the podcast. I missed this podcast. I particularly missed it last week when I couldn't do it because I was very excited to talk college football. We are going to talk a little college football today. We're going to talk NFL because here we are, opening weekend of what I call the most distracted 4 months of bandwagon nerds you can enjoy, as well as a little bit of a PSA to end up in the show. Just a little PSA from me to you, the noble sports fan listener. But Dave, thank you. I guess I say thank you. We didn't do Four Corners. I think there was no Four Corners podcast talk while I was out, you know, moving the kiddies in over at the University of Massachusetts. However, I do think I owe you a lot of gratitude for keeping the ship afloat on the bandwagon, keeping us going, running that show, and making sure that happened. And what a great show we had on Monday. It was terrific, and we haven't even recorded it yet.
Yes, exactly. Your triumphant return will be very much appreciated. So, it's good to have you back, man. I could not get Tony was like, nah. I mean, you saw us switching the schedule around, doing it on different days, different times, and
here's the thing: is I have seriously considered during the NFL season switching to Saturdays, but college football to me is what the NFL is to Tunney and Ray. And I am not willing to give up my college football viewing to be a distracted podcaster. Like, I'm just not going to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't like it. And case in point, this past week, Illinois was taking on Duke in Durham. It was a big game for both teams. It was kind of a show me game for both teams. We're going to talk college football first, apparently. Just going to roll right into it. And I would have been a wreck if I had been trying to record a podcast while Illinois was in a noon kickoff, struggling hard in the first half. And I'm in a weird place as a fan of University of Illinois football, because I'm not used to watching the other team be the one whose every mistake gets exploited by an opponent. And Illinois did that yesterday. Illinois ended up winning their game like 40-something to 19. But the first half, Illinois was ahead 14-13. Like, the struggle bus was real. The offensive line was terrible. They couldn't run the football. They had negative rushing yards in the first half. They caught two. And here's the thing is, Duke fans are going through a lot of copium today, a lot of telling themselves they were the better team. And for a half, like, I even tweeted it, if you had just watched the game with no score, you would have been like, the Dukies are the better football team. They run a Manny Diaz style blitzing aggressive front seven defense, and the Illinois line was not handling it well. The Illinois quarterback, Luke Altmyer was not, they were really struggling with it. And the Illinois, the first Illinois score came by virtue of a muffed punt. Muffed punt, Illinois recovers the football, gets seven. The defense, and it's funny to listen to some of the Illini faithful out there who are heavily critical of the Illini defense, because they haven't figured out that the Illinois defense isn't an aggressive defense. They are, especially with aggressive offenses, they are very much a two deep safety, make you march down the field on a 12 to 13 play drive and earn it. And so when Darian Minta, who was paid $4 million by Duke to come and transfer to Duke from Tulane, he got his yards. He threw for over 300 yards, but he also had an interception and two fumbles. He also wasn't able to hit pay dirt in the red zone. I think he hit pay dirt twice. And one of those touchdown catches was an amazing catch made by the receiver with the narrowest of toe taps. Outside of that, Illinois made him earn it and held him to two field goals and a touchdown in the first half. They then really capitalized on Duke implosions. So the first one was Illinois gets the ball coming out in the second half. Duke forces him into a three and out. Illinois goes to punt on fourth and four. Flag on the play. Do you know what Duke's flag on the play was for, Dave?
Probably too many men on the field.
Close. Two guys with the same number jersey on the field. They had two number eights on the field. Just a coaching malpractice mistake. Like, you can't have that. And Illinois' like backup special teams assistant, like assistant to the assistant, saw it, called it, got Bielema to get the officials to notice it so that they got the flag. Illinois got a first down out of that play, marched the length of the field, touchdown. Game was never less than 8 points after that. And Illinois, like, they forced turnovers. They played mistake-free football, forced another team to make a mistake. Right now is my favorite time in college football because it is teams figuring out who teams are and what they are. For example, Florida State looks like they are back.
Yeah,
they really do. You know, got the big win last week, backed it up with a franchise or program tying or breaking record in touchdowns, scored 11 touchdowns. Granted, it was against an FCS school, but that team looks for real. And I like it is one of two teams in the ACC, them and Miami, who look like they are legit and should be considered for college football playoff contention. But the top 10 to 15 college football teams right now, I don't know that there's a truly dominant college football team. I don't know that there is a clear prohibitive favorite. I think Oregon is making a statement based on some of the disrespect they feel they've been showed. They scored 69 points, nice, against Oklahoma State.
No one's talking about Oregon that much, which is probably a mistake. You know,
it's strange. Well, it's one of those things. They were so hyped last year, right? They come in first year in the Big Ten. They win the Big Ten. Then they get a raw deal for the college football playoff. Like, they truly got a raw deal. You get a bye, but congratulations. Here's Ohio State, the hottest team in college football. And Ohio State, which, you know, gets the number one ranking by virtue of a very boring game for three quarters until the fourth quarter of that game against Texas. And you know, and they basically held on. Like, Texas had chances to win that game and they just didn't get it done. But you know, they beat a bunch of teams, played a bunch of nobodies this week. So there's not a lot you can see. So what I am going to do is I'm going to go back in time. And I'm going to answer a couple questions I heard you ask on Bandwagon Nerds. The first of which was about Arch Manning, and is Arch Manning overrated? And I don't think he's overrated. I think he is unfairly scrutinized for a dude who has now started four college football games. Because of his last name. And I do think the media has a real part to play in this, in the hyping of this guy, right? Like, he was very, very good in high school. He was number two recruit behind DJ Lagway. Like terrific, terrific prospect. And, you know, people gave him the Heisman before the season even started. And so when he comes out against a defense in Ohio State that is extraordinarily talented and showed it, suddenly Arch Manning is a fraud. And I don't think he's a fraud. He may not be a Heisman Trophy winner, but I still think that it's tough to judge a guy who started two college football games and won them, but started two college football games and declare him, you know, a boom or bust when he's now started four. Like that's just not fair. Like, that's not fair to anybody.
Yeah, I mean, and you are playing the defending champions in their home stadium. So, I mean, it was going to be an uphill sled no matter what you did.
The most hyped up game for a season opener in college football I've seen in a long, long time. Like, that was a big moment for both teams. And you can tell, it was a big moment for both teams because neither team performed particularly well.
Yeah.
And that tends to happen in these early games. Like, it just didn't perform very well. It was a sad thing. So, but no, I don't think Arch Manning is a dud. Do I think he's overrated? I think it's too early to tell whether he's overrated or not.
Right. I mean, it's,
you know what I mean?
2 weeks in for everybody except like Iowa State, who got their third win, did it to Iowa again with a last second field goal. Like you're saying, it's so early in the season to really draw any sort of conclusions other than the freshman quarterback for Michigan. If he develops a little bit more accuracy, he's going to be really, really good. He's already really good. Like the game against Oklahoma, they're just a few plays away from really, you know,
I think making Michigan that game also different. I also think Michigan suffers from a wide receiver deficit still.
Yes.
Like last year, because they had to retool. Last year, Michigan's passing attack was awful, awful. Like, they could not throw a football.
Right.
And this year they can throw a football, but they don't have like Ohio State level receivers. They don't have Justin Smith out there. They've got one guy they can really kind of go to. And that's going to be a challenge for them. I think that they're going to be a top 20 team. I don't think they'll touch the college football playoff. I just don't think they're there.
No.
I think next year, Bryce Underwood with some receivers, watch out for Michigan. They're going to be back on the path.
Yeah. So far, everything I've seen, I mean, you got the big two up there, the Big Ten and the SEC that are looking dominant, which is no surprise. I mean, you say dominant, but like LSU, they weren't exactly like lighting the world on fire in their first two games, but they're still undefeated. But
that first game against Clemson like, time game, and LSU delivered, and Clemson did not.
Yep.
Right.
Oh, I'm watching the Commanders and the Giants right now.
Distracted football. Distracted podcasting, everyone. This is what we get.
This is actually homework for today. So a little bit, you know, to make sure I can report accurately as to what's going on.
Well, and we'll do that after the commercial break. I got one other college football story we have to talk about, because how can you not? Bill Belichick, he got his first victory for North Carolina, beating Mighty Charlotte 20-3. Now, I watched 0 minutes of this game. I did watch the absolute pasty that TCU put on them in their Monday night spotlight game. All of ESPN is there. They are sucking up to Bill Belichick.
It started great for them, and then the rest of the game happened.
They'll always have that first drive where the scripted drive goes beautifully, and then the wheels just completely fall off. North Carolina looked lost. You know what they looked like, Dave? They looked like a team that brought in 70 new players to a roster, because that's what they were. They brought in 70 new players, and... Yep. And it's just funny because when that game was dead, like, you know, everybody's there. Herb Street's there. Reese Davis is there. Everyone's there. We get to halftime. It is Desmond Howard and I can't remember the other guy on stools. The set has been taken down. Everybody is gone. The celebration is over, because basically what happened was kind of what I thought would happen. Like, I don't know what people expected out of a Bill Belichick-led college football team. Like, I get it. Here's what it reminded me of. When Illinois was terrible, their first major collegiate football hire by Josh Whitman was Lovie Smith. And there was a lot of excitement around the program because here's this Super Bowl he didn't win the Super Bowl, coach who, you know, coached Brian Urlacher and all these great players. He comes in and he does almost instantly gets some buzz around the program. He manages to get a few recruits to come, and they win their first game. And it's this really, like, everybody is hyped for this game against North Carolina, a Mitchell Trubisky-led North Carolina. Memorial Stadium is full, sea of orange. People are going crazy. Illinois goes down on the first drive of the game, scores like it's nothing. North Carolina won that game like 49-7. It was abusive.
I wanted to say, like, I did not realize that that Illinois is ranked 11th in the nation. I mean, that's pretty damn good for them.
Yeah, so it's a reflection on what they brought back. So they were a 10-win team last year. They beat South Carolina in the Citrus Bowl, and they returned 16 starters on both sides of the ball. The biggest question mark for Illinois was actually at the wide receiver position, where they lost a lot of talent. If you can catch the Denver Broncos game, Pat Bryant has made a lot of waves during training camp and in preseason football for the Denver Broncos. They love him there. He was their guy. And so on the strength of that, and not knowing a lot of other teams like powerhouses had a lot of question marks, it's easy to look at an Illinois team and be like, okay, here's this team. They look like they really gelled at the end of the year. They brought everybody back, including their quarterback for a third year, including the only coaching staff in the Big Ten that still has the same head coach, offensive and defensive coordinators this season. Like, the continuity is very, very strong. And so they're ranked number 11, but there were a lot of people who, you know, did not believe in this Illinois team, and rightfully so, because Illinois has not had that kind of reputation. In fact, Illinois was two and a half favorites against Duke, basically a toss-up game at home, and a lot of people were picking Duke because Duke was a 9-win team last year, brought back a lot of talent as well. They pick up this, you know, that basically the top transfer quarterback in the market, and Illinois, you know, like it was a show me game for both teams, and Illinois forced 5 turnovers for Duke, 6 turnovers if you count a turnover on downs during garbage time, and just they held their line. And as the game went on, they just wore Duke out. And because they played mistake-free football, they ended up winning by 26. So 45-19, they won by 26 points.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'll say this. One of the from out here on the West Coast, one of the teams that you got to look at and say, ooh, this is not good at all, is UCLA, already starting 0-2, got blown out first game, lost to UNLV. Was it, they were down like 23-3 at the half. They came back and got it to 30-23. But, you know, if you're a UCLA fan, and I know lots of them, and I like UCLA as much as anybody, well, not the true diehards, but that's got to be concerning, you know, to be 0-2. You haven't even started Big Ten conference play yet. It could get really ugly. This could be like, you know, like Florida State was 2-10 last year. This could be a 2-10 UCLA team this year, which I know is going to depress my friends on the West Coast, but they don't look good. That's right. All I can say about that is they do not look good right now. But like you were saying, Florida State is like one of those teams that I love. Two games in, the way they play defense is inspired and aggressive and just like very different from the team that kind of just felt like they were still in that, you know, they felt like they were still in that hangover from what happened the year before with getting snubbed for the playoff. And they never got out of that. But this year they look like the real deal.
Yeah, they do. They really, they just look like a focused team. They look like a focused team. They look like a more talented team. You're talking about West Coast teams to worry about. I'm very interested in what USC is this year too. They're a tough test. They're a tough test on Illinois' schedule. They're a home game for Illinois. So we do have, you know, for whatever it's worth, and I don't know that I buy travel anymore these days, but USC is traveling to Illinois, and Illinois has this like gauntlet to start the Big Ten, where they take on a ranked Indiana team in Bloomington. Then they have USC and Ohio State coming to town back to back. So And USC is always a team that is loaded with talent, but it seems like they shoot themselves in the foot every year. So I'm curious to see what happens there.
I got to say, because, you know, we're going to talk about ESPN Unlimited in a minute, but when I'm watching Cal play, like who they're playing yesterday, Texas Southern, that sort of thing. And just when I'm watching Cal and you see the big ACC logo on the field, it just feels so wrong in so many ways. It's like nothing says ACC like Cal Berkeley. It just, no. But,
right,
you know, what are you going to do, right?
So. It is what it is. So, all right. So I'm looking forward to, you know, one more week. Though the SEC seasons are kind of starting to kick off and get a little more real, we're basically one more week of kind of garbage game. And then once we get past that, the season kicks off in earnest. You start to see who are the teams that are going to come out and make the big difference. Who are the teams that are going to make the big plays? Who are the teams that are going to start to separate themselves in the SEC, the ACC, the Big Ten, Big 12, all of that? It's going to be a great time, and I love it. I can't wait for it to start. So stay tuned for that. It is not far away, and we'll talk about the week that was in college football from week to week. It'll be a lot of fun. I'll be interested to see who actually is a Heisman contender too. That's the other one that I'm curious.
Yep.
I'm just curious. So, all right, we're going to take our first commercial break. When we come back, Dave and I will talk about the NFL. We will talk about the aforementioned changes to Red Zone and all that, plus a little PSA from your good friends, Patrick and Dave. Stick around. This is the Four Corners Podcast here on the ChairShot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back, everyone, into the Four Corners Podcast here on the ChairShot Radio Network, part of ChairShot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. Head over to ProWrestlingTees.com/ChairShot for all of your ChairShot swag needs. David, the NFL yes. season started on Thursday.
It did.
I get NFL Red Zone for free for this week.
One week only. Okay.
I will say this, my free weekend of Red Zone less than my free weekend of NFL Sunday ticket, RIP. I miss NFL Sunday ticket so much, because that first week was always great to be able to just watch every game in the nation. And this year I have a vested interest in seeing some other teams, because for the first time in a long time, that college I was talking about in the last segment has players playing college football in this segment. I mean, there's one on your Commanders, in fact. Jershon Newton, Johnny Newton.
Yeah, he's going to be a big part of the interior line this year.
Yep. And I guess games are going on now. By the time this podcast drops, games will have been over. So I don't really want to go into speculating about who's going to win what games, but I do want to talk about teams. I got to speak as a Bears fan first, and just the level of just frustration to feel like, hey, you know, we got a pretty good thing. We think we got a pretty good thing going here. Might have a solid team this year. Then the fucking Packers do something like trade for Micah Parsons. And it's like, yeah. God damn it.
Yeah.
And here's the thing is, I don't think that made the Packers better than the Lions. We'll find out, I guess, you know,
tonight.
After the
we'll find out tonight.
I think the Lions are still the team to beat in the NFC North. I don't know if the Bears are better than the Vikings. I don't know if the Bears are, I don't know where the Bears are yet. I don't know. I want to believe in the weapons that were given to Caleb Williams. I want to believe that they're going to be a good team, but I got to see it. And so Monday night's going to tell me a lot. Like after I bowl on Monday night, I am going to go head to my local dive bar and just watch Monday Night Football from a local dive bar and either drown my sorrows or toast a victory. Because I don't know what to make of them. I like where they're headed, and I like what they're building, and I like their defense. I like the receivers and weapons that Caleb Williams now has on offense. I don't know about that offensive line. I don't know about that running game. And you still got to run the football to win in the NFL.
Well, I think Ben Johnson will make a huge difference for the Bears. You know, I watched, I don't know if
I
you
like
watched
him.
This.
I really like
it. I really do. And you know, last year it was the guy that we hoped the Commanders were going to get. And now looking back, you know, everything hindsight 2020, I'm fine with Dan Quinn, obviously, after 12-5 in a NFC championship game. But I think, like, you know, I was watching Seth Rollins pick the Bears schedule, and he had him at 12-5, and I'm like, Seth, you know, that's awfully optimistic, man. I was like 8-9, something 9-8 maybe, with a few things breaking their way. They're going to be better than last year for sure. You know, I think the Hail Mary really screwed them up mentally. And that's not because it happened against my team. It's just any team is going to be, I mean, you look at the two teams going completely opposite directions from that point forward. But, you know, the odds of something like that happening again this year are very slim. You know, I'm just like, you know, my guys I'm watching on Red Zone right now, and I know we wanted to talk about how this whole interchange worked, but yeah, the Commanders defense looks really good. JD and Terry are not on the same page quite yet, because he was wide open and JD missed him. But I mean, you know, it's, yeah, I think right now, just kind of like glancing at Red Zone and talking to you, the Jets Steelers game looks like a lot of fun. Like, a lot of fun. It is like, yeah. Jets Steelers, like, okay.
So, well, you know, and Aaron Rodgers, of course, on their first drive. And this is what I love about early season, is the hyperbole, the overreaction that happens to these things is awesome. Because Aaron Rodgers takes the team down the field, they score a touchdown, and all of a sudden it's like Aaron Rodgers is back.
Yeah.
Is he back?
For one drive.
Everybody and their brother knows that in professional football, well, in football in general, that first drive is usually a scripted drive. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, for the fantasy owners out there, draft Jackson. Who's the Giants back? The guy they drafted, Dart. Jackson Dart, is that who he is? I would say draft him quick. If you got him on a waiver, because Russell Wilson is not going to last halfway through the season. If they can't protect him, and if he keeps making decisions like he's made against the Commanders, because, woof, he got lit up on something. It's like, Russ, you're not 23 anymore.
You never like to see your quarterback just take hit after hit, right?
Yeah, he gets out of the pocket, he runs for the end zone, he gets hit, fumbles the ball. Luckily, it's right next to him, so he grabs it, but it's like, yeah, that's not sustainable, man. So we'll see what the G-men do. But I don't know, man. I was going to tell you, it's so funny. Somehow my Facebook feed got populated with Giants stuff. And oh, man, I don't know who's more delusional, AEW fans or New York Giants fans. It's a toss-up, Pat. No,
why did you have to bring wrestling into it?
It's the easiest comp I can draw.
Here's the thing that I will say. I think every fan base thinks that they're the most long-suffering fan base. Again, I will compare it to like wrestling fans, but I will compare it to, so Illinois wins that game. I will go back to my well. I'm on a message board. I love the 24/7 sports message board. That's why I have Paramount Plus, because I use this website, and you get a subscription when you sign up. But I decided to go over to the Duke board after, just to see, because sometimes you just want to know. And it makes my heart warm to know that every time I go to another fan base, fan base's page, and I look at how people are reacting to the successes or failures of their teams, it's always either the same delusional crap I see on my team's message board, or the same doom and gloom crap that I see on my message board. Like, fans love to fire everybody right away. Like, fans think that if your team has a bad offensive line performance, time to fire the coach.
Yeah.
You know, it's always about firing somebody. And there's always these people who feel that their team is going to win it all every time, all the way. And that's the beauty and the hope springs eternal of the first week of a season, right? It's the same thing with opening day. Opening day, you're in it until you're not.
Yeah.
So keep hoping, Giant fans. Keep hoping. And we'll see what happens.
I almost felt bad for the Dodger fans yesterday, but not really. So
nobody feels bad for Dodger fans. Is this the year Buffalo figures it out?
Probably not. it's the Bills. It's death, taxes, and Buffalo disappointing. I love Josh Allen. I think he's probably, you know, if not the best, top five quarterbacks in the NFL, that's for sure. But Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, I think after watching Friday night, the Chiefs are probably a little bit more vulnerable this year. But you say that every year, and then they go and they run off 12 in a row. So, you know, that's hard to say. But anyway,
I'm looking forward to Patriot fans giving up on the season after this week. That'll be a delight. I think, the other team if they win, because let's all take the first quarter of the game while we're recording, or second quarter, wherever we are right now, and let's run with that. That's going to be the season. I don't know. I've just, since their fall from whatever, and I'm not saying Vrabel won't be the right coach for them in the long run, but this year ain't the year, brother. So we'll have to see. I mean, they're taking on the mighty Raiders and they're tied 7-7. Like, it's not that impressive. So, I'm just intrigued to see some teams that I haven't followed for a while, mostly selfishly because there's guys I've watched play college ball. Like I mentioned, I'm very interested in the Denver Broncos this year. I just want to watch them play. They've got an Illinois guy who they were really high on in camp. And I was sad. Like, I actually sought out who are the afternoon games today, because I don't have Red Zone. Well, I have free Red Zone for this weekend, but I'm not paying for Red Zone. I'm not jumping on that.
Well, that's
that
a good, that's yet. A really good so, segue, Pat. That could be a yeah, very so good segue.
Let me tell you something that I think is getting blown entirely out of proportion. And that is the advent of 2 minutes worth of ads on 7 minutes of Red Zone content.
Yeah. Dude, I have not seen one ad yet, and I've been kind of playing in the background. I haven't seen anything.
That's because it's 15-second ads over a 7-hour period that's supposed to max out at about 2 minutes.
And they do it in a separate window anyway, so it's like it's not overlaying your game.
Here's the thing, folks. I know you think your subscription is what pays for all of the making the channel go. It doesn't. It's part of it. You have to have revenue in another way. And that revenue for ESPN is going to come through ESPN/NFL is going to come through your 15 seconds of ads that are in a box that you don't have to pay attention to. They're not going anywhere. Quit your bitching. Go home and enjoy it. Like, this isn't hard. But Dave, you wanted to talk. You have downloaded the new ESPN what is it, Unlimited app? I have not yet. I just have the ESPN app. I haven't explored Unlimited just yet to see what my DirecTV subscription gets me or doesn't get me. I have to check that out. I'm still on the research phase. So what has it been like for you before we give our PSA to end the show?
So I do want to, and this is kind of a PSA as well, ESPN Unlimited, because I cut the ties with DirecTV, got the bundle, which is the ESPN Unlimited bundle, which is it's ESPN Unlimited, it's Disney Plus, it's Hulu, but Disney and Hulu are ad-free, so it's like $38.99 a year, or a month, excuse me. I wish it was $38.99 a year. So I got that. And that's really, I really enjoy that. Like, ESPN Unlimited has some cool features. The best one I think I told you is the Sports Center for You, where they take your favorites that you have, your favorite teams, your favorite leagues, and they curate for you your own Sports Center reel every day. That's like, you know, between seven, like mine this morning was like 13 minutes, which I haven't even watched it yet. So that's pretty cool. There's so much college football on ESPN Unlimited. It's pretty crazy how much college football content and stuff is on there. I did want to mention the NFL network thing, because as we know, the NFL was integrated, or, you know, has become part of the ESPN family, and NFL got a 10% stake in ESPN for that. However, if you are trying to, what I would recommend to anybody, if you're going to make this switch, is do not do what I did, which is upgrade to ESPN Unlimited first and then try to get NFL network, because it does not work. And I've talked to ESPN, I've talked to Disney. They know there's a glitch in it. They can't figure it out. It's supposed to be like a $10 add-on. It won't work. So what I did is I just said, you know what? I'm just going to go through NFL Plus Premium Plus. Get that. It's $80 for the whole year, which is like $7 a month or something like that. And I just did it that way, because I think if you start fresh and you did like and they are offering this big bundle, you know, all the stuff, Disney Plus, Hulu, ESPN Unlimited, and, you know, they're also offering the NFL Premium Plus upgrade. If you did it clean and fresh, it probably would work okay. But if you try and add it on, it doesn't work. But that's okay. Just get it through NFL Premium Plus. Yeah, it's like $80 for the first year on this promotional thing, then like $100 a year after that, which is still cheaper than the $10 a month that ESPN or Disney was trying to charge me. So it'd be nice if everything was in one place, but that's not going to work. So, you know, do your thing.
And that's just not the reality of our world of streaming services anymore.
I mean, well, next,
it just isn't.
I think part of the problem is that it hasn't passed the regulatory control yet and has not been approved through the regulatory control yet. So it's still, yeah, it's kind of sort of approved, but not really. So it's not completely integrated. And Disney hasn't figured out how to do all that stuff yet. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of my own PSA. I wanted to let people know, hey, if you're thinking about doing this, probably want to do it this way and not the way that old Dave did it, because it doesn't work so well.
Yeah, don't do it the hard way, the way Dave did it. Do it.
That's
the easy
right.
Way.
That's right. Hit the easy right. button.
The Staples commercial.
But yeah, right. I've got Red Last... Zone, and I'm watching it in the background and all that fun stuff. So it's no big deal.
I know. Like I said, for the next 4 months, I live with distracted podcasters all Sunday. As it is, we're going to end today's episode with a PSA, and it's a simple PSA, folks. If you're a grown ass adult at a sporting event, don't take shit from kids. Just don't. Because you know what happens when you take shit from kids? You end up on the internet and you lose your fucking job.
You just made the list.
Or you have to write an apology pretending to be somebody who gave a shit that you took something from a child. We've had two incidents in the last 2 or 3 weeks where grown ass people have taken stuff from kids. One, it was the US Open tennis tournament, where a CEO decided to take something. I can't remember what it was like a hat or a hat from something that was clearly being handed to a child. Like, the guy wasn't looking at the child, but he was clearly handing the autographed hat to a child, and this CEO snatches it away. And it was like, I didn't understand what was happening. No, you were a dick to a kid, dude.
Yep.
And then everybody called you out for being a dick to a kid, so you had to make up an apology. And, you know, and again, anytime these stories happen, the kid usually comes out on top because, you know, the team or the athlete is going to reach out and do the thing. But the thing that happened in Philadelphia with the woman who doesn't understand that when a player hits a home run, they're not hitting it to you. Pick up the fucking ball if you want it. You didn't pick it up. You know who picked it up? The dad who gave it to his son. Instead, you went full Karen, and because the dad didn't want to deal with it, he handed the ball over to get you to go away. And you lost your job, allegedly. I haven't seen if that's confirmed, but allegedly, this woman was in education, Dave. Like, what are you even doing? So, just when you're there, I'm sorry you didn't get your precious piece of memorabilia, but don't take it away from a kid, because your life is going to be a whole hell of a lot worse than you ever wanted to be. Like, I guarantee that woman, because the CEO, whatever, he doesn't care about human beings anyway. He can give two shits whether you think he's garbage. But I guarantee that woman who lives in the United States, her life is miserable. She's going to have to unlist her number. She's going to have to hide her address. She's going to have to find another place to be for a while. And as much as she doesn't want to admit it, this is going to follow her for years, mm-hmm. because people are assholes and don't forget. And I don't think people should be going after somebody as hard as they're inevitably going to be. I think it's fine to know that this person did this and to shame them, because, again, you made a scene over a fucking baseball that was given to a guy's kid. Like, you're the bad guy.
Yeah,
you're the bad guy.
If the guy kept it for himself and she got in his face, it'd be a different story. You know, that, but I think I found out about it.
Not my opinion. Snooze, you lose.
Yeah.
Snooze, you lose. On a fucking home run, snooze, you lose. Nobody handed that ball to her.
I heard about it. There's an account that Tunney and I both follow, and they're the ones who kind of said, this gal has no idea that her life has just changed, because it's all plastered on social media. And this is where the power of social media. People like her underestimate this shit. And it's like, if you saw what happened at the Coldplay concert, you should have been aware that if you do some crap like this, it is going to get caught on video and sent all over the world. But she didn't give a shit. And yeah, social media took this and ran with it, like still frames of her. Who is this bitch and all this other stuff? And I mean, it's like America's right. Most Wanted, and she got
Will be found.
She was found. And on absolutely. Top of it, Harrison Bader for the Phillies saw it and he gave the kid all this other stuff instead, you know, and like made right. it up, made it right with him. So yeah, everything that you did was there. And I give kudos to the dad for not making a scene, because I would have been like, bitch, get the hell out of my face, you know, that sort of thing. But right. But the dad was just, he was cool about it. And because he didn't want to deal with it, like you said.
I would have, I don't know, as somebody who just spent last weekend being told not to come after people like a little bitch for checks, notes, enforcing our policies. That woman would have never gotten her baseball.
Oh,
like
yeah.
That dad was a bigger person than I would have been, because I would have been like, tough shit. You didn't get, like, it's not yours.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand what planet you think you're on where you think that's yours. If you've ever watched a baseball game in your life, people go after, everybody goes after. You didn't get it, not yours. Deal with it. All right, we got to get out of here. We got a Bandwagon Nerds episode to record. So let's wrap this up. Tell everybody where they can find you on the social medias, Dave, before we go.
Yeah, when I'm not stealing baseballs from Karens out there, you can find me on X at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude AGG, Facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression, and at Attitude of Aggression, all one word, on Instagram and on Threads.
And you can follow me on all the socials at Wrestling Realist. That is at WrestlingRealist. Catch me every Monday, Tuesday, and occasional Wednesday on the Chair Shot Radio Network. We recorded a DeMarco show this week. It happened. And it was a lengthy DeMarco show. It was quite the conversation. We'll probably do a couple more because Patrick's going to Monday Night Raw next week. So I'm very excited
to see
John. Yeah, we can talk about it a little bit more at another time. But yeah, I'm going. So I assume that I will be able to drag DeMarco to a couple more podcasts before we take another 7-month break. But you can catch those on... on the Chair Shot Radio Network, and make sure you follow us. Thank you everyone for listening. This has been another wonderful edition of the Four Corners Podcast. Please, 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 for the love of God, don't take memorabilia from kids because you look like a douche. This has been Four Corners Podcast here on the Chair Shot Radio Network, part of the chairshot.com.